Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone out once again. There's some among us this afternoon that weren't here this morning. I must say it was a wonderful lesson. So, if you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew 16, if you're not already there. That's where our scripturing was today. Our lesson is going to come from this text, and we're going to be hitting a few more verses today than we did this morning, but primarily, we're going to be looking at a lot of the words that come out of this text. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, as we read, he asked his disciples a very interesting question. He asked, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They answered in verse 14, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." We see here that they responded by their opinion on what they have heard from those around them. But Jesus continues and asked them asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" It's good and well that they know what others are saying about Jesus, but that he wants to know, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Today I want us to consider the question that Jesus asked his disciples and think about our lives and the lives of those around us and that we encounter each and every day. We live in a day and time where everyone needs to know who Jesus is. And if it's ever been a time when the church needs to know about our Father's business, now is that time. Now is the time, because the church, being a called out assembly that God has called out of darkness into the marvelous light, to go back out into the world and share the gospel, that good news, to this lost and dying world. God's message, when we read through our scriptures that he's given us, is a simple message of salvation. It's a simple message of forgiveness, of hope and forgiveness. But it is also a message of judgment. And it's the responsibility of us as a church to spread that message and proclaim that message to this world. The word Christian simply means, as many of us know, to be Christ-like. And if we profess to be Christians, or we profess to be Christ-like, then we need to love like Jesus loved. We need to forgive as he forgave. And we need to help others like he did and give like he did. Everyone needs to know Jesus, but we need to know Jesus as our example as we examine the text today. It is important to understand that Jesus, we need to understand, just like after we have been given instructions at school, there will be an exam for us to follow one day. This was the case for the disciples in Caesarea in this passage. They have been with Christ for some time and had, as a result, received much teaching from him. Christ now gives them this exam in Matthew 16. He asked them the question of his identity. As mentioned earlier, he asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Then he quickly asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" The second question here is really the key question, and it would reveal how much they had been listening at his teaching. What answer did they give Jesus on the first question? "Who do men say that I am?" Verse 14, "Some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," or Elijah, some versions might say, "others Jeremias," or Jeremiah, "or one of the prophets." When we take a minute to look at these answers, we see popular opinions being mentioned. I want to kind of just quickly go through them as we get started this afternoon, where it says, some thought Christ was John the Baptist. Now, this was Herod's view, the Herod we talked about this morning. He thought Christ was John the Baptist coming back to life. Herod feared John the Baptist. And we know from Scripture John was a good man. We looked at him very briefly this morning. We know that he was a unique man, a forerunner of Christ, who wore odd clothes and ate strange food and preached an unusual message. A message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist and Jesus had something in common. They both died a cruel death for telling the truth. John the Baptist was a good man. He did many wonderful things for God, but John the Baptist was not Christ. Some thought Christ was Elijah, who had been prophesied by Malachi to return in advance of the Messiah. Elijah was the most famous and dramatic of Israel's prophets. He predicted the beginning and the end of a three-year drought. He was used by God to restore a dead child to his mother. He represented God in a showdown with priests of Baal and Asherah, and he appeared with Moses and Jesus in the New Testament transfiguration scene. Elijah and Jesus had something in common. They both knew the power of prayer. Elijah, too, was a good man, a God-fearing man. But Elijah was not Christ. The third one we see there was some thought Christ was Jeremiah coming back as well to prepare the way of the Messiah. We know that Jeremiah acted as God's faithful messenger in spite of many attempts on his life, those trying to kill him. Jeremiah, as we study him and his life, was so deeply sorrowful for the fallen condition of Judah that he earned the title of the weeping prophet. Jeremiah and Jesus had something in common. They both wept over the people's unbelief. Jeremiah, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, was a good man. But Jeremiah, too, was not Christ. This response given by the disciples were the impressions that the people around them had on Jesus. But Jesus takes it one step further, as he normally did, and made the question more personal to his disciples. The disciples had expressed themselves at times regarding their faith in Christ in many different ways and their belief on who he was. But this is the first time in which we see the Scripture being recorded where Christ pointedly and plainly asked them who they thought that he was. This question examines their own heart. It's good and all to say what other people might say and what they think, but it shows the heart when the question is pointed to you. In terms of one's relationship with Christ, it reminds us that it doesn't matter what others think. It really doesn't. But what really matters is what we ourselves think of Jesus. So I want to spend the rest of the time today on the sermon on who I say Jesus is. Through Scripture and the examples, we want to look at who Jesus is, and throughout this lesson, I want you to examine within yourself, too, of who you feel that Jesus is today. I've been considering this sermon for a while. It's one that I kind of wrote a few years ago, and I tried to create a list of characteristics that I thought showed who Jesus was. The first characteristic I'd like for us to look at is Jesus as a friend or a comforter. I want you to take just a minute here as we start this point here and think of a close friend that you have or maybe have had in the past. What is it about them that makes them such a close friend of yours? Some things that you may be considering is loyalty, one who you can go to for comfort. Someone who knows what to say and when to say it. Friends are typically that we have known for some time, we've built a relationship with over the years, or even a close bond. But what we learn from Jesus is to be a friend to even those that we don't know, those that we just come across. We still need to be a friend. Be a friend to those who are in need at their lowest point in life, or when the world seems to be against them. In the previous chapter, in chapter 15 of Matthew, starting in verse 21, we're going to read that in just a few moments. We see Jesus being a friend to a girl that was demon-possessed. And I'd like to go ahead and read that, starting in Matthew 15 and verse 21. It says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." The disciples here looked at this woman. It's a very interesting text here, and we could build a lesson just on this, but the disciples here looked at this woman as merely an annoyance. An annoyance of someone who is begging Jesus for something, and they thought it was just another one of those people trying to look for a miracle. And they begged Jesus to send her away. And this was an interesting point in the ministry of Jesus himself, because the focus at the time was just the Jews. So Jesus answered, "Is it not right to take the children's bread?" This is referring to the Jews. "And throw it to the dogs." So that was a very unique statement. I couldn't figure out for the longest time, but over different studies and references that I looked at, the dog was how the Jews would insult the Gentiles. But in this text, Jesus isn't using this as an insult to this woman, but instead he is testing her faith, and by her response, Jesus sees her faith and tells her, "O woman, great is your faith." You know, stop here for a minute and think about this. How would you and I respond today to this woman? Many times we create such stereotypes that cause us to be blinded by those things, like those disciples and the Jews at the time. We already have decided in our mind who is worthy enough for salvation. And then the others, we will send them away. We have so many examples like this when we see Jesus as a true friend, as a comforter to others. He sees past our blindness, and he shows how to have compassion and how to be a friend to all seeking our help. We may not always be able to personally help them physically or financially, but we can all be a friend who cares for them and help them emotionally. We can pray with them. We can also combine our efforts to find them what they need, especially if they need to find Christ. So yes, Jesus was a friend. He was a comforter. But we also see him very closely as a friend, being a servant and a leader. In Luke 2, starting in verse 41 through 52, we see Jesus as a young boy being about his father's business. We're not going to take the time to read this, but we see where he was leading others by his example. He puts himself at the feet of the teachers of the temple, learning from them and soaking it all in, knowing his role and purpose on this earth. He did not come into this world and puff himself up as a ruler of this world, but rather he took the place of a servant to help, to learn, and to teach others. But one example that stands out to me the most about Jesus being a servant is found in John 13. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be reading several verses from John 13. Jesus was facing a lot at this time in his near future, and it was heavy on his heart. But he continued to be that servant and that leader that he was. Before we read this text, I got to thinking about this point. And in today's day and age, we hear the differences in the workforce about who's a good manager and who's a bad manager. And the biggest factor in this is one who's willing to consider his employees. Consider them and make them a human being and not just a metric on a report. One who is a good manager is one who is always willing to jump in and consider himself as a worker, a servant, and not just one that just keeps loading up the work on everyone else. Jesus teaches us in John 13, and I would like to read, starting in verse 1, we're going to be reading actually down to the 20th verse, but I think it's going to be worth our time reading this passage. John 13, starting in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What am I doing? You do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have not shared with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. This was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on the outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Jesus takes the message to his disciples and teaches them how to be humble. Don't get stuck thinking that you're better than one another because you've been saved. We have to remember that we too were once lost. We too were in that state of being lost and separated from God. And we need to be humble enough to be a servant to those around us and lead them to Christ. The next thing I thought of when I was thinking of this is, we see Jesus as a teacher. We need this the most in the world today. We live in a world where sin is accepted and even desired. One thing that has seemed to have gone away is the Christian speaking up and teaching the gospel, that good news. Each of us have been given the responsibility in Mark 16, verse 15, to go. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole world. So why don't we do this? We have a problem sometimes with just teaching one another, more or less than teaching those that are lost in the world. We choose to go about and do anything and everything, make time for this and that. But when someone puts together a Bible study, a VBS, a gospel meeting, we don't seem to have as much interest. We don't seem to make the time. And why is that? Well, Jesus was a teacher. He made it his purpose to teach the kingdom. In Matthew 4 and verse 23, we see Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. And in the next chapter, we see that he was up on the mountain, opened his mouth and taught his disciples, teaching them who is blessed in the kingdom. We know these. We've studied them. It starts, blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those that are meek. And the list goes on and on. He ends up teaching them in verse 12 why they do what they do. It says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Jesus taught them who they needed to be and what message they needed to share for those who were going to gain their heavenly home. What is unique about Jesus is that he did not just speak to those around him with words, but he spoke with them in ways that they could understand. We are very familiar with this today as we read scriptures. It's at our fingertips, and we know that he taught by parables, teaching them in common things that they know and applying it to God's commands. We look back through scripture and we see different things that he used. We see how he used children. He would use the Gentiles. He would use the sick. He would use the dead in ways that brought such a deep, meaningful message that all could understand. We still understand to this day. Jesus took the time through his word to teach us how to pray and how to live, how to love, how to forgive, and how to stand against the wiles of the devil. Jesus did all that he could, took every opportunity they could to get that message to the lost. So are you and I willing to put aside our pride and our arrogance so that we can be fruitful for the kingdom? Let's consider Jesus to be our example as a teacher. And then lastly, who Jesus is our Savior. If you will, turn your Bibles to Titus 3. I'd like to look what we read of in Titus 3, verses 1 through 8. We're given some encouragement. It says, remind them to be submissive to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done for by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. God sent his Son, his only Son from heaven, into this world to save us, each and every one of us, from sin. We are saved by God's grace and if we live fully obedient to His command. Not on the commands that that make us feel good or that make sense to us, but all the commands. This afternoon, we've spent our time looking at all the qualities and characteristics of Jesus. Today, we saw Jesus through Scriptures as a friend, as a comforter, servant, teacher, and now a Savior. If we profess to be Christ-like, as I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, then we need to learn from Jesus. We need to learn from Him how to love. We need to learn how to forgive, how we need to help others, and how to teach them. And we need to be having of a giving mind like we see in Christ. As we close today, I want you to be thinking, if we are asked today by Jesus, who do you say that I am? If we're honest with ourselves, what would come first to your mind? One last passage I'd like to look at before we sing the invitation song is back in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 27 through 49. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him, and they took reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him to be crucified. And when they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put over the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So after the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also rivaled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." You know, when we read this verse, we read it a lot around the Lord's Supper. But even when we're just reading it to ourselves, this text is so powerful. The pain and the agony that Jesus went through for you and for me. So this afternoon, if asked, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter had it right. Matthew 16, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Will you let Jesus be your guide today? And you yourself strive to have the same characteristics as Him so that you can make a difference on those around about you. I hope this lesson has made an impact on you this afternoon as it has on me as I was preparing it. If there's anything that we can do to assist you in getting your life right with God and giving you the encouragement that you need, we'd ask you to make it known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.